firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say?
Well, it's a dark day for Israel. The kingdom's divided and war, it's become a way of life. And that's where we pick up today as our study of 1 Kings continues here on Through the Bible. And I'm your host, Steve Schwetz. And in just a few minutes, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, will take us through the sordid history of Israel and Judah in the generations that followed Solomon. And I'll be honest, it isn't pretty, but it is fascinating. So find your seat on the Bible bus and let's welcome Through the Bible's President, Greg Harris, who is here to give us an update on our world prayer team as they travel through Central Europe this week. So welcome, Greg.
Thanks, Steve. Good to see you.
Now, this week, our world prayer team, among other things, is traveling through the country of Romania.
Yes, Romania, an interesting country, not one we hear about much in the news, but lots of spiritual news coming out of that country. It is a obviously post-communist, like so many of the countries of Central Europe.
Right.
But it's also a country where evangelicalism has grown a great deal. And so it's very encouraging that we are part of that ministry.
Right. And we've played a pretty important part of that for quite some time. We've started in the Romanian language in 1999,
That's
if
right.
I recall.
That's right.
And we specifically target Romania and Moldova.
Uh-huh.
And they can also, like most of our foreign broadcasts, be heard over the internet as well.
That's right. And we always like to remind our listeners here to pray for the producer or the speaker, and that
right.
is Soren Covaci. And we want to pray that God will use Soren to reach the Romanian people.
Right. And what are some of the current challenges? I know we like to get an idea of what's going on in the country in terms of opportunities of reaching people who speak Romanian.
Well, in any of these post-communist countries, Steve, there is this sort of strange mix of the after effects of communism and the economic effects, the spiritual effects. And so there's really a lot of what you might call spiritual scar tissue, even though there is a lot of growth in the evangelical church. So pray for these new believers. Always, all over the world, we always pray for leadership development and discipleship, which, of course, is why we're teaching people the whole word in Romanian.
Right. Now, let's get into some of these letters that we've recently received from this language. First, we have from Andre. Every time we have a chance to listen to your program, we rejoice. My family and I are so thankful for the possibility to hear the Bible explained so clearly on the radio. We pray that the Holy Spirit will use this ministry to search the hearts of many, and we pray for all of you who are involved in making this ministry possible. Through you, I discovered the truth of the Bible. It has been a mighty tool used by God to draw my family closer to Him. One of the most important things I have learned is that we should be of service to God rather than man, and that when He wants to do something, nothing can stop Him. I really appreciate the sound teachings that are aired. May God bless you.
Hmm. And I also like that, Steve. When we find out that listeners around the world are praying for us, it's very touching. And I like to emphasize that with our World Prayer Team members, that our World Prayer Team includes people all around the world who are praying for us. Now, here's a letter from Sergiu in Prahova. And he says this: from a young age, I looked for God. I wanted to become an Orthodox priest to know Him better. Listening to your program, I now understand the Word of God as never before.
All right.
I like that. That could be said of any language, anywhere in the world. That's what Through the Bible's about. The letter goes on: I quickly realized that I have to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Therefore, I have set aside my plans to become a priest, but I have become a follower of Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for His provision and grace.
That is so encouraging. You know, we've got time just for one more. This is from Mahedenti, if I'm saying that right, in Romania. I'm so happy that I was able to be a small part of your ministry by distributing some solar radios in my village. Maybe that's their version of the solar Bible bus, possibly?
It's something like that. That's
okay.
Right. Yep.
I am glad that these people received these radios because they didn't have any other possibility to listen to God's word. Many of them have no electricity in their houses. I thank you in the name of Jesus for this opportunity.
That's a great letter, Steve, and it's great to see listeners participating in the ministry, not just receiving the ministry.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to be actively involved in our World Prayer Team, sign up today. Go to ttb.org/pray. Greg, why don't you go ahead and pray for us?
Father, our hearts are blessed to know that people in Romania and so many other countries around the world are understanding your word in new ways. We pray today as we study that you would open our hearts and minds to your truth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we feel like we do need the double portion of the Spirit of God on us through this section here. And I hope you have our notes and outlines. And we left off last time here in the 14th chapter, where we are told in verse 30, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. Now, Rehoboam was a son of Solomon, and he reigned over the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin. And Jeroboam was the one who led a rebellion of the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes that's called Israel and Samaria, and he reigned in the north. And there was civil war between the two kingdoms. As we've indicated before, this led to a bitter civil war with brother fighting brother, and there's nothing quite as bad as that. Now, we also called attention to the fact that none of these kings that we've had so far have been good kings. In fact, there's not a good king in Israel, the northern kingdom, and there are very few, a half a dozen good ones in the southern kingdom of Judah in the line of David. Now we find that after the death of Rehoboam, that his son Abijah, or Abijam as it is here, comes to the throne. And we read in verse 1 now of chapter 15 of 1 Kings. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, and she is the daughter of Abishalom. And this is something that's quite interesting, and you will find it all the way through this section. Every time a king is mentioned, why, you'll find out his mother's mentioned. And that's unusual. Generally, we're told who his father was, that he succeeded, but here the mother is given. And again, that's unusual. Now, why is that given? Well, I have a suggestion to make to you. The mother had a great deal to do in influencing the life of the boy. And my position here is, and it's my judgment, that the reason God recorded the name of the mother along with the king, he's a bad king, she's partially responsible. He's a good king, she's partially responsible. She has to accept responsibility for him. And today, I feel like we are living in a time when a great deal of condemnation and judgment is made against these kids that have become hippies and that sort of thing. And I recognize that sometimes out of a Christian home, why, the trouble arises. But generally, there's a background for it. And ordinarily, these kids have a mother. Most of them do, you know. And the mother is partially responsible. You can't escape it, friends. Now, I know that this cuts very deep and very hard. We today need to recognize that mother has had an opportunity of influence on the little one. And if a little one has grown up to feel neglected and unwanted and unloved, maybe mother ought to stop and think. And instead of trying to be president of the Missionary Society and singing in the choir and trying to do everything in the church, it might be nice to stay home some evening, take the little one up in your arms and just love him and just let him know how much you really appreciate him. That is something that I think is being neglected in our day. The biggest problem that most young couples have today is finding a babysitter. May I say to you, we need, I think, today a little bit more mother sitters that take little Willie or little Susie in their arms and spend a lot of time loving. It takes a lot of loving, friends, to bring a child up today. This is something that's very important. Now, I take time out for this because, very candidly here, it will occur again and again. Every time we have a bad king, his mama's name is given to us. I think God was trying to tell us something. And if he's a good king, her name's given also. She'll get credit for that. And I just wouldn't want to be the mother of some of these rascals that we're going to find here in Scripture. I think it disturbed me a great deal to have been the mother of some of them. Somebody said, well, you can't be the mother. Of course I can, but I sure hate to be. All right, now let's move on. We're told here in verse 3, now what about this man Abijam? Well, he walked in all the sins of his father, which he'd done before. He followed his father, too. Papa's to blame also. Papa set the example. Wasn't a very good home Abijam was brought up in, but he's a lousy, rotten, corrupt king. And father and mother are responsible to a certain degree. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as the heart of David his father. Now you see, David becomes the standard. It's a human standard. But it's also a standard that God accepted. And why did God accept him? Because of his sin? No. That was the black spot. Now God says in verse 4, nevertheless, for David's sake did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Now, the line of David, friends, never ended until you come to Jesus Christ. And it ended there. The line of David, you can't follow it after that. But here you can. God says, I won't let the lamp go out until the fulfillment of my covenant I made with David, that there would come one to sit on his throne that would rule the world. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look here at David. Verse 5, what God says about him. And friends, after all, if we're going to be fair with judging God, and I think that little man is in no position to sit in judgment on God, but we do it nonetheless. You're going to judge God about his relationship with David. Let's understand what God really said about David and David's assets and his liabilities. Now, God lists them here. Verse 5, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, he turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. Now, somebody says, wait a minute, but that black spot, God's recording it, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's the black spot. Now, beside that, David obeyed God. Now, David didn't live in sin. David didn't live in sin. King of Babylon did. What David did one time, King of Babylon did every day. It was the weekend practice of the king of Egypt to do the thing David did one time. And the whole thought is expressed by our Lord in the parable of the prodigal son. Friends, the son can get in the pig pen. We need to recognize that today. God's child can get in the pig pen, but by the same token, you can say the child of God will not stay in the pig pen. Now, why won't he? The reason is obvious. He's a son of the Father. He's not a pig. Pigs live in pig pens. Sons want to live in the Father's house. And my friend, if you want to live in a pig pen, that's where you belong. And that tells who you are. But if you've got in a pig pen and you have a desire in your heart and cry out to God, you want to come home, he's going to take you home. He'll receive you. Now, David did wrong, but David confessed his sin. And David obeyed God in everything else. And I think that it behooves us to be very careful about criticizing David. David's a great man, friend. You and I, not worthy, I think, I'm not to tie his shoestring. He's a great man of God. And he becomes now the standard, an earthly standard, to be sure. Now, again in verse 6, we're told this. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. This was a time of civil strife. It was a time when brother was fighting brother, and it weakened the kingdom, of course. Now we're told the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? That was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And this is it. He did nothing outstanding except evil. He was a bad king. Verse 8, and Abijam slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. Now we've come to the first good king, and you feel like saying, hallelujah, we've found a good king, and this is Asa. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and Asa's son reigned in his stead. Now in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Now you can see that we have here an overlapping of 2 years. That is, Asa reigned here, and during this period, Jeroboam had his last 2 years. Now we're told in 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he had one of the longest reigns of any king. And his mother's name was Maacah. And isn't that interesting? Asa's a good king, and his mother's name was Maacah. And that means that she gets credit here in a very wonderful way because of this. And we are told that she was the daughter of Abishalom. These things are very important. Notice verse 11. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. David, again, is the standard of either right or wrong, and this man measured up to David. Now, what did he do? He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. Now, he just didn't go for the idea that we're to be soft on homosexuals. Asa was opposed to them. May I say to you, any nation that has dropped to this low level as we've dropped to today, and it's not a mark of being civilized, it's a mark of gross degradation, and we are going down as a nation. God gives up any people that has a permissive society in this connection. Now, I really do sound like a square in this day, do I not? But somebody's going to have to talk out against this today. This is something that we need to recognize as sin today, and that it's as rotten and corrupt and depraved and degraded as man can become. You can't go any lower than this. When a man goes to this level, God gives him up. And our society is moving that way today. Old Asa dealt with it. He's called a good king. And we need today to recognize that God hasn't changed his mind in this connection. Now we find that Asa made war against Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. It's continual civil war. Now we're told that Asa did other things. He had to appease a kingdom rising in the north, now that was becoming dominant, and that was Syria. And he sent to Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, certain of the gold and silver in order to appease him. This was to keep him from invading his kingdom. And he made a league with him, which I think could be said to be the one thing he did that was wrong. And we're told that in verse 22, then King Asa made a proclamation throughout all Judah. None was exempted, and they took away the stones of Ramah, the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha had built it, and King Asa built with them Geba, Benjamin, and Mizpah. This is all for protection, of course. Now all the rest of the acts of Asa and all his might and all that he did and the cities which he built, why, they are written in the book of Chronicles. And then we're told Asa slept with his father, buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead. And by the way, Jehoshaphat is another good king, as we shall see. Now we come back to the son of Jeroboam, and he reigned over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. He reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, wherewith he made Israel to sin. And we find that there was a great deal of intrigue in the northern kingdom, and we're told that Baasha, the son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against him. And Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. And then he became king. And then you would think that maybe along the line somewhere that there would be peace, but there was not. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. This was continual civil war which depleted the energy and the resources of both of the kingdoms and made them subject to the powers that were round about them, and they were invaded again and again by Egypt in the south, by Syria, and then finally Assyria in the north. Now we find that this man Baasha reigned longer than any other king in the north up to this point. He reigned 24 years, and we're told that this man is to be put down because he did evil. And we're told that him that dieth of Baasha in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth of his in the fields shall the fowls of the air eat. This was a sad period in the life of the kingdom. Now we're told that when he died, that what happened, that Elah, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And then we're told that he hadn't reigned but 2 years till his captain, Zimri, led a rebellion against him. He conspired against him. These conspirators in the northern kingdom, no man was safe up there. And when this man got drunk, why, Zimri went in, smote him, killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah. And so Zimri began to reign. He didn't last very long either. He lasted 7 days. And then they got rid of him, by the way. And again, another rebellion, and there was conspiracy against him. And then we're told that after him, Omri, he went up to Gibbethon, all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, burnt the king's house over him with fire, and died. These are dark days, as you can see, for the kingdom, and darker days are yet to come. Then we are told that not only was there this conspiracy of Omri, but he had a rival, and Tibni also claimed to be king. Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people that followed Omri prevailed. And then Omri put to death Tibni, and then Omri reigned. Now, he reigned over Israel, and he wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he did worse than all that were before him. He exceeded the others. That's in verse 25. And now he has a son, and here's where we're going to begin next time. Omri, verse 28, slept with his fathers. He was buried in Samaria, and Ahab, his son, reigned in his stead. And we're told in verse 30, and Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. This man, Ahab, he's the worst one of all. And he had a wife that really helped him. She was a real helpmeet in the area of evil. What he didn't think of, she thought of. And what she didn't think of, nobody could think of. She's a mean woman. And we're going to be talking about her next time. But God had a man there, and the right kind of a man, and it was Elijah. We're going to come now to what I believe is one of the great sections of the Word of God.
Well, if that isn't a great invitation to join us for tomorrow's broadcast, I don't know what is. So why don't you meet us here as the saga of God's people continues, and we're introduced to a bold prophet named Elijah. And in the meantime, I'd invite you to read ahead in 1 Kings 16, verse 30 through 18, verse 17. And if you'd like to join us in reading ahead for each day's study, and I highly recommend that, we offer a handy bookmark that can help. Just download it when you visit us at ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE to get it by mail. And when you call us, please be sure to mention the name of the station on which you listen to Through the Bible, or tell us if you listen online or through an app. We thank you in advance for helping us to be wise stewards of the resources that God provides for this ministry through faithful listeners like you. Well, that's all for us today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here tomorrow saving you a seat on the Bible bus.
Unto him I owe, sin hath left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.